Good to have you all here today and sharing with us. As Josh had mentioned, there's the youth rally on Saturday up at Bronson, and we want to do our best to support that. There's a sign-up sheet out there, so we know how many vans we need to have ready to go. And then, as he shared, our revival will begin next Sunday morning, and so we pray that you plan to be a part of that. Stay around for the carry-in dinner, and then look forward to good messages there from Dave Jones, as he'll be sharing with us. And there are sign-up sheets out in the entryway for greeters and things of that nature that we need to fill for the other nights of the revival for that. Those that were able to share with the auction yesterday, Hal said everything went very well, so they were grateful for that. And so we're just, thankful how the Lord blesses that mission through those endeavors. All right, we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 this morning, Isaiah 35, verse 4. We're going to be speaking on maybe three words that we don't like to hear: stress, worry, and anxiety. If anyone is involved in any of those things in your life, raise your hand. Okay, all right. That's what I was hoping for, is that this that you guys would just be stressed out, right? No, but what I was hoping is that we'd share in messages that are going to be things that are needed in our life, that we can make application for. But there's the Word of God has much to say about these different things. This is kind of a follow-up or a sequel to a message we did 2 or 3 weeks ago. I remember when David was talking about how I would have fainted, or how I almost gave up hope. We live in a world that needs hope. We live in a world that the only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. And so this is to go along with that, that we have our hope in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't change the fact we have stress, worry, and anxiety. Even if Jesus tells us himself not to do those things, did we see how many hands went up? Because we all do. And so I hope we can share in that this morning, help to try to alleviate some of this struggle that so many of us, that all of us, it was just those that were willing to admit it and those that didn't, have in our life. Isaiah 35, 4 says, "Say to those with an anxious or a fearful heart." I didn't really ever put those two words together until I started studying out this passage, that when we see the word anxious, that it actually, what that is it's our fear. It's our fear. Sometimes we may say, well, I'm just nervous or I'm anxious. But why is that? We get nervous over things we fear. If we're used to it and everything, then we don't fear it so much. But anyway, so we got an anxious and fearful heart. Take courage. Fear not. Your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. And again this morning, Josh, fantastic job picking out songs. Again, as I can, I have a viewpoint. Yeah, right there. That's right. That's right. His little son Noah's there pointing at him. Hey, that's you, Dad. That's you. Yes. Great job in seeing those things, and just a reminder to us how good God is and how those things is he wants to be there for us. And this is just another one of those passages. When we talk about the anxious heart, I usually, how I start off a study is I'll look through several commentaries and see what things jump out at me that people say about that. They say that having an anxious heart is much like one that jumps to dark conclusions. Do we ever jump to dark conclusions? In other words, as we shared on Wednesday night, we don't always think the positive about people as we should, and sometimes we think the worst about people. And when it talks about that, being anxious or having that anxiety or that fearfulness, what we do is we jump to dark conclusions. And then we usually hang out there for a while. And that's where it gets troublesome for us. We also see that one commentator made the comment that this is where maybe an individual, and this is where maybe in the life of a Christian, when we struggle with anxiety, what we've come to the reality of our life is that we have grown inconsiderate of the promises of God. Can you see that? We've grown inconsiderate. We don't think highly of them as we used to. Where did we say our hope comes from? Jesus Christ. He's given us promises. We as Christians have promises upon promise of things that he will do for us, is doing for us, that we have laid up for us in the future. And what we have done is we've forgotten all those things. We put them on the back shelf and we become inconsiderate of the promises of God. I just thought that was an interesting thing, a way to say it. Then also in the Hebrew, what that means is that we are hasty at heart. We become hasty at heart. In other words, not being grateful, not being thankful, not going to God for the help that he offers, and those are all things we want to look at here this morning. So I pray that we do not become hasty of heart, that we do not become inconsiderate of the promises that are given to us, and please, dare we not jump to dark conclusions about circumstances or one another. And so as we go through this morning, we see, have you ever been caught off guard by unwelcome circumstances? Right? Maybe it's a hard diagnosis that just came in from the doctors they called home. Maybe all too often you're coming to too much month at the end of the paycheck. Right? Little financial setbacks. Maybe there's things as simple as a deadline you have to meet, and you just don't think you can make it happen. It starts to wear on your mind. Maybe you're involved in a relationship that's unrepairable. Or maybe, as we all have been in the past couple years, involved in a global pandemic that leaves everybody guessing about everything that could happen in your life. Do any of those things ever stress you out? Do you ever worry about those things? Do you have anxiety or get anxious about any of those things? I think we all do. If we don't, then it's either you need to be up here sharing the lessons and teaching us how we can, or we don't have a care in this world, or we've learn to place our trust where it needs to be. And so I'm trying to encourage you this morning to put our trust where it needs to be. Too many times stress, worry, and anxiety causes us to freeze. Maybe mentally. We ever have a situation that happens in our life and it's just, I didn't even know what to say. Right? And we just kind of freeze up. Or maybe it's a friend sharing some hard struggle they're having, and you do the same thing, and you're frozen in fear. And that's why so many times people struggle with going to funerals. They say, well, I don't know what to say. But as those that you're going there for, very, very, very rarely do they ever acknowledge what you said, but they do acknowledge that you were there. In other words, it's not so much what we say as what we show up for and not being paralyzed in our life and our daily struggles that we try to help one another with. There may be many different things that we face. And this is where, regardless of the situation that you face, the Bible offers us some profoundly simple advice. And that is, first of all, we have to acknowledge it. Acknowledge the problem. First, we need to acknowledge it to ourselves, because sometimes we can do the best that we possibly can at deceiving ourselves, that there's a problem. You know, there's stress and worry and anxiety in your life because there's a problem. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, so we have to first acknowledge that to ourselves, so that what? We can talk about it. And we talk to our Father, which art in heaven, and we have to admit all kinds of things. There are things that's easy in our life to admit, such as if any one of us had a child that was had all of a sudden got a very bleak diagnosis, would not raise their hand and offer that up as a prayer request, right? Do we understand that, right? We wouldn't acknowledge that? Okay, so we would acknowledge that. We'd say, please pray for so-and-so. Those are the easy things to mention. Maybe we've gone through a hardship and lost a job. I'm looking for a job. Those are things that we find it easy to mention. We may not like to mention those things. We hope we never have to mention those things. But those are things that we can easily admit. But then how about, you got yourself in a real pickle at work because you said something you shouldn't have said. And maybe even in the higher ups, it's causing a problem. And now you have to ask for a prayer request because you said something dumb. That can be a rough thing. Maybe you have to ask for, we need to acknowledge to ourselves and acknowledge to the Lord. And in doing so, confessing to one another that, you know what, I made a decision here, and it was not the best one. As a matter of fact, it was a terrible decision. Have we all been there? Now, that's where it starts to get a little harder, because now we're getting personal with our life. We're not asking about prayer for somebody or some situation that's kind of a surface thing. Now we're asking for a prayer request because we'd be embarrassed about the situation. And believe you me, if there's anything in the world that people don't like today, and especially Christians, it's to be embarrassed about their conduct. Never have I received more grief or blowback than when I preach a message that goes against something somebody's doing in their life that is wrong. Because we don't like to admit it. And by all means, you're not going to tell me I'm wrong. You're not innocent. Right? Is how it goes. Or then maybe there's things that we just don't understand that are hard to admit. Like, why do we have a struggle sleeping at night? Some of us, it could be obvious. Get a CPAP machine, right? Some of us, we may lose sleep, and then maybe it causes high anxiety in our life and leads to panic attacks, and we don't even understand why. Do we not, as we look through our lives, do we not have all kinds of things that we need to admit to ourselves and that we need to admit to the Lord? And yet this Bible offers up such a simple, so profound advice for us that we need to go to Him and we talk to Him and we share with Him. And how do we do that? We do that, again, in prayer. Prayer is a very simple thing that us talking to the Lord. And so prayer means talking to God in an honest, heartfelt way. So many times when we get with one another, we try to make it sound, you know, even our prayer request, you know, like it's, yes, we're so, yeah. But what the Lord wants for us to do is honestly just break down, open up our heart, and talk to Him. The more we communicate with God, the easier it becomes to communicate, right? Remember when you first started dating, perhaps, you might just say, hello, right? But then as you started to get to know one another, you started to talk more, right? And then you talked all the time. Then you got married and quit talking, right? But what God wants for us to do is to communicate in a heartfelt, honest way. So that, not that God's not big, but we sometimes fail to remember how great, how big our God is. If we learn to trust Him with the small things, then we keep our God small. But then we start to trust Him with the big things. We realize how big He is, and then He seems bigger to us. Then that's when we can wear the needle, see the needle point pillows or the plaques people put on the walls that, you know, as I go through today, there's nothing that God and I can't handle. Right? And as long as God's in that equation, it'll all work out, right? But when we don't have him where he should be, that's when our stress, our worry, and our anxiety goes up. That level goes up. David says this in Psalm 62, 5 through 8, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation and my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and the glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." I've heard people and I've heard preachers even say that the New Testament shows the love of God and the Old Testament shows the wrath of God. I think that's inaccurate. Because a few weeks ago we spoke out of Psalms. This morning we're speaking out of Isaiah. This verse out of Psalms that we just looked at is a reminder to us that God's pretty loving. That he had a plan. And that plan was to take a God that the nation of Israel many times would overlook, grew to expect what he wouldn't offer, and he didn't, even the great, magnificent things that he did weren't, they became to expect those things, and he wasn't huge in their mind. I want for us to look at our own personal trophy cases that we have of prayer and see the times that God has done so much more than what we have asked. And so when he wants for us to go to him in a heartfelt manner, he also wants for us to understand that, as the psalmist told us there, when we turn over to him. How many times have we looked and can look and through the Old Testament and talk about where God is my salvation? That was in one of the songs we sang this morning, and I was just like, you know, he's there for us, and he saves us. He can save us here while we're on this earth, and then ultimately on that final day when we receive the final salvation, rest from this world, how great that will be. But passages like that Psalms passage are there for twofold purposes, I believe. Number one, to give us a calm heart. To give us a calm heart. In the Psalms as well, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." How many times have we looked in the past couple weeks over verses that says, "Wait on the Lord"? He wants to give us a calm heart, right? What do we need to do when we start stressing out? Right? Count to 10. Yeah, grab the squeeze ball, right? Yeah. You grab the squeeze ball, you start squeezing that thing, right? You're stressed out. Chill. Right? There they go. They got them going right now. That's bad when the sermon makes you have to grab the stress ball. All right. So as we see that, it gives us a calm heart. But when we have a calm heart, then we think clearly. It gives us a clear mind. It gives us a clear mind. I always giggle. George always says, that his family, the first thing they do when something goes wrong is panic, right? And so if you panic, you don't think clearly. So that's why it says calm your heart and clear your mind. Calm your heart, clear your mind. That's what that Psalms passage is telling us. Now, what he wants for us to do when we're having those heartfelt prayer life discussions is to make a specific request to God for him to act upon. In other words, change your prayer life. We were talking about that. Instead, thank you, Lord, for this and bless us for that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do those. But what we're doing is find something in your life that's super important and then ask God to intervene or change or follow through or whatever. Ask God to act on that. Then you want to see God work in your life? He will go from something small to something great. Jesus even asked for something great to be done. As he's in the garden, may this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. I know what it means. But, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And that's how we got to remember to pray. Ask God to move, because he may not be moving now in your request, because he's got something bigger and better in store. Or maybe he's saying wait so that you avoid a drastic problem. But ask him specifically for a request. But then still remember, he knows what's best. It'll help to relieve stress. It'll help to relieve worry. It'll help to relieve anxiety. Because you know, if you're struggling with high anxiety, stress in your life, and you ask the Lord to help, it is very, very difficult for one to be thankful and show that thanks and be selfish at the same time. Something's got to give. Something has to give. And so that's why even when it's hard, we need to give thanks. We need to give thanks to God. It's very difficult to be in a good attitude and then complain. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He wants for us to be able to give thanks. Maybe that's to another person. But ultimately, it should always come back to giving thanks to the Lord. Got three things that I want for us to consider as we think about giving thanks. Give thanks to God for the things that he has done. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, raise your hand. God has gave you the opportunity to have eternal life, salvation. Thank him for that. Thank him for what he has done in your life. Look at all the past blessings. Look at what he's done in your life that has brought you to this moment, which leads us to number two then. Be thankful for what God is doing. Is God doing anything in your life right now? He wants to. If you've shut him out, then that's your fault. But look around us, the opportunities we've had. Thank God we've got a youth rally to go to Saturday. Amen? Thank God we got a revival to share in next week. Amen? Thank God we get to share in the building program, extra giving this month. Amen? Thank God that everything went well with the auction last night. And so as we look at those, thank God for what he's doing. Be a part of what God is doing. We always say, God is doing great things. That's wonderful. He will. How about you? And then number three is we thank God for what he will do. There's nothing that saddens me more than to see empty chairs in the auditorium. I pray that it'd be full. I pray that the deacons would say, the only thing we could do is pull out the bleachers. Wouldn't that be great? Do we think the Lord can do it? But he's going to use us to make that happen. He's going to use us to make that happen. Fill these chairs. fill those bleachers, right? We live in a world that needs hope. Jesus is that only hope. Where are they going to get that? From Christians that already have that hope. Share that with them. So those three things that we look at, hopefully that helps us to get our attitude of giving thanks downright, which then leads us to the final one that we want to look at today to help us in our stress and our worry and our anxiety, and that's to understand the peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "In the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension." Some translations will say, "which surpasseth," that's the King James, right? "Surpasseth all understanding," right? "Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do we want to be able to think right? Then we've got to get into Christ. We've got to act within Christ. He's going to have things go on in our life, and yes, there will be things we don't understand. Right? However, he gives us enough to know what we do need to understand. And that's where do we get our peace? Do we get our joy and our happiness from what the world has to offer? Or do we have it from what the Lord has to offer? When we go to God for the peace that He has, that we may not understand how He helps to calm us down, gives us that calm heart, gives us that clear mindset. When we go to God for the peace that He has, it helps to change in prayer, in our getting into the Word, in our us doing our part. It helps for us to change our perspective. And in doing so, we change our circumstances. We change our perspective, we can change our circumstances. Well, that doesn't change anything. I've lost a loved one. Circumstances are still the same. Yes, but if you change your perspective, then we look at what's God's plan for this. How is God going to intervene in my life? How can I thank Him for what I have had in the past, what I am going to receive, those things that we talk about on the giving thanks? Have I made that special request to Him? Have I asked Him for guidance? Do I go to Him in prayer? Do I go to just the simple, profound observations that the Bible gives us to live for Him? It says, say to those who have anxiety, the only thing I know to do for you, and I'm not, is you have to go to the Lord. He will make ways clear to you what needs to be done. Sometimes that might mean a few minutes to yourself. Sometimes that might mean a visit to the doctor and let modern medicine help. Sometimes it may mean let's spend a little more time in the Word. Sometimes it'll mean let's pray perhaps a little more purposefully. But the Lord wants to help. He doesn't want for us to carry that stress, that worry, and that anxiety all on our own. As a matter of fact, He wants to bear that burden with us. And that's what the church needs to do as well, is to be there for one another. Say to those that have stress and anxiety, go to Jesus. Run to Him if you can. But get in the arms of Jesus as soon as possible. For He wants to hug on you and love on you like you've never had in your life before. I still believe the answer to this fallen world is Jesus. Run to Him. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scriptures that tell us how much we need Jesus and how much we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that if we want to be with God the Father one day, the only way that that can happen is through Jesus Christ the Son. See how important He is to us? That we repent of our sin, that we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we are immersed into the watery grave of baptism, and then we do our best to live faithfully. And the Lord knows the stress and the anxiety and the worry of this world. As the Hebrews tells us, He is tempted in all points as we, but yet without sin. He wants to help us through this life so that we will enjoy the next one all the more. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?